Well, I'm telling you, God said, and I believe it.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on July 23rd, 2025, and is titled, Who's Responsible? So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
And keep walking in it. I believe it. Believe God. And when men get to a place where you do this, where the preacher's not your glasses and the church isn't your crutch. Some guy standing up here telling you how to see it all the time. Writing books for every formula, every idea, every little thing. If a book inspires you to get to the Bible, go ahead and read it if you got time. But let me inspire you today. Go right to the Bible. The Holy Ghost is the author. Now, here again, if the Holy Ghost has filled that vacuum, then rely on Him. If religion has filled that vacuum, go buy some books. Go buy some books. If you're getting your Christian jollies by listening to everybody else's testimony, find out where yours is. You should hear yours. What's yours? What have you believed God for? You see, I have a hard time with people who believe God saved them and you hadn't believed Him for anything else since. The Spirit that dwells in me cries out to Abba Father and testifies to the Father all the time. I'm just telling you today there's a difference. There's a reason the Bible talks about few and many. There's a reason the Bible tells them it don't matter what you do. Did we not? Did we not? Lord, did we not? Lord, did we not? Away from me, you doers of iniquity, for I knew you not. A whole generation of God's people died in the desert for one simple reason, is unbelief. So, I'm going to step in the Word tonight. For a minute, we're going to talk about a couple of my favorite subjects. I love talking about the promise. Man, that was such a great discovery. Do you know to discover Genesis 12 and the promise made to Abram? I had to read my Bible because there's not another book on it. I heard Kenneth Copeland talk on it one time. God, he was a disaster. I mean, really, he should get some outside help, tell him to simmer down and be quiet. Just saying. For some odd reason, he thought that was all about getting more money. A promise made to Abraham was all about getting more money. Sound like a fool. Anyhow, in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 9, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Now, those of you that weren't here last week, the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God. Watch this right here. This is pretty good. Now then, how then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Had he obeyed the law or not obeyed the law as was the law? What was the deal here? Did he fit the box of all the rules or not? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of truth, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. He had not met the requirements. Yet God promised him and gave him the seal of the promise. That promise that's been so left out of the equation. That promise that led me to a place that I knew that God's people could fight for a leader of our country, that fight for our freedom, fight for our flag in the spiritual realm, came out of the promise made to Abraham. The fact that I knew that through Passover and obedience to God, that by faith in a promise made for a place to dwell, that God, just like he did for Elisha, could make it rain. That God would change the atmosphere according to our faithful request. He reminded me that 25 years ago, he spoke to me through a man. Said, I'm going to heal your eyes. He reminded me so I would believe him again. You see, I think for the last 25 years, I've carried too much unbelief to actually walk it out. Had I not come to this place in my life today, with the assistance of man, cut that thing off my eye. That's what you're getting tonight. You're getting the assistance of a man to cut that thing off your eye. So we can see and believe. God made a promise to a man who had not checked the boxes, but a man who simply believed when that promise was extremely unbelievable. And he imputed to them. To whom?
Them.
Yeah. Watch this. So he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Now, we as a bunch of Gentiles and Jews who come to believe in Jesus receive a new circumcision according to the Bible. Do y'all know what that is? I think most of you do. What is it, Murph? Circumcision of the heart. What's that mean, Murph? What's that mean, circumcision of the heart? But how's that? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Is not that the seal? He tells us over in the book of Ephesians that I promise you the seal of the Holy Spirit as a believer. And so I've marked you with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That regeneration, that rebirth is what fills that vacuum, that baptism in the Holy Spirit that clothes us in Christ and draws us into the presence of God and the kingdom of God. So all the fullness of God is accessible. And so we can approach the throne room of grace. We can talk to God. We can listen to God. He said, my sheep know me. They hear my voice. They follow me. Let all who have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What's God saying to you? And what are you believing out of God's mouth according to his word? Are you filled today? Because if you are, you're circumcised in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? You are now a child of the promise. I've harped on this now for over a decade. Galatians 3 says it's no longer the descendants of Abraham that are considered Israel. We're not talking about replacement theology. We're talking about covenant with God. but it's by one seed, according to Romans 9. I think I got that backwards. Romans 9 says it no longer, but Galatians 3 says by one seed. Read them both. You have now become a child of the promise. A child of the promise. What did he do for Father Abraham? Made him the father of many nations. How did he do that? By the direction of God the Father. How did God the Father make that happen for us? He sent his one and only begotten to be the perfect sacrifice. Crucified in the flesh. Raised from the tomb. Ascending into heaven. Through a life-giving spirit. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead has now given life to our mortal bodies. So much of our Christianity is about where we end up when this is over. And I'm simply asking you, what do you believe while you're here? There's no glory for God in your dying. It's all in your living. And so the promise says we can live. The promise in Genesis 12, ratified in Genesis 15, confirmed in Genesis 17, that promise says that I'm going to give you a family. I'm going to give you generations as much as the stars and as many as the dirt. And I'm going to give you a place to dwell. That promise, when I found that promise, man, I couldn't wait to find out if that was for me. And by the blood of Jesus and my belief in him, my faith in him, I'm a child of that promise. It's because of the promise that I found Passover. That promise made to Abraham has never been conveyed in a man-made holiday called Easter. Never. All this ties to Passover. All of it. If you'll get Passover, you'll get Shavuot and Sukkot both. You'll figure it out. If you'll just start digging around a little bit. You know what I like about readers? I can use my really small print Bible. I love my little... I've been using them others, you know, last couple weeks. That one's like carrying a suitcase around. I don't like it. He says right here, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. And where there is no law, or where there is no law, there is no transgression. You see, the law is absolutely necessary or we're just going to run wild. You know, we're kind of born into a nature that wants to run wild. How many of y'all been tamed by church and still act a little wild? How many of you men are still a little unruly? I thought I'd get an amen from all the women. The rules cannot contain you. You have to be willing. One of the coolest things about America, if you go to Plymouth, Massachusetts, there's a statue there that displays a lot of stuff. But one of the cool things, and it was in the Mayflower Compact, and it was brought forth and handed down through generations for a long time, but that the Christian faith would be the main cord in the main strand in the cord to make all this happen, because through the Christian faith, men become willing to be obedient. You hear that? We don't become neutered. We don't turn into a bunch of soft little sissies. But we become obedient to God. What made us soft was we became obedient to men. Listen to me. One of the few books I've read in my life was a long time ago. It's called Wild at Heart, and I only remember a little of it. But the best part of it was this guy was condemning the church for calling men to come in on Sunday morning, sit down, shut up, and be nice. We should raise you up to be rowdy. Men. Men are supposed to be men. Men work. Men protect. Men love to extreme, and they perform to extremes. Men can be risky without whiskey. That's a good line. Be risky without whiskey. Be risky in the Holy Spirit. But men, that's where we're coming to, guys. Have you noticed? We went through 2 decades, you couldn't find the men's department in Dillard's. Skinny jeans are going away. Have you noticed? Hallelujah. Now you can walk down the street and actually tell which ones are bucks and which ones are does. We're doing good. Robin wants me to move on. But it's the truth. And so when we begin to believe as men because we're willing, not because we're held hostage by the rules, but we're willing to search out, we're willing to become obedient, we're willing to study, we're willing to reshape ourselves, we're willing for God to do things in us, with us, and about us. That's what we're talking about. Because here's the other thing, guys, and this is the one that really gets us more than anything. I don't want to show of hands. I'll be able to see your faces, or at least the ones in the first 5 rows. You know what comes with the law? Guilt. One of the biggest things that happens to a man when he finally gets born again. Guilt. Next thing you do, you're trying to make up time. Even the score. If there's any way for you to even the score, there was no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. You can't even the score, so just believe God. Just believe God. He says here, for the promise, or let's see, no, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. I wonder how many people would like to have God's grace without faith. Grace is an easy preach. If you'll do grace, especially that greasy kind, you might have to build a bigger building. Grace didn't change the rules. Grace just let sinners come back to the rules. Grace didn't change who God was. Grace changes who we are. It's that simple. And he said, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. What a great, great scripture. God who raises the dead and calls things that are not as though they are. Do you know that our foolishness will confound the wise? How many doctors' reports do you think God can turn upside down? Weather reports, droughts, pestilence. How about wars and rumors of wars? How many things can God turn upside down? I think that's why there's a portion of the world today having such a hard time with everything going on in America today, because this just can't be happening. And it is. You see, this is why the church would finally rejoice. Not because they told you to, but you're realizing that things that you didn't believe could exist, things that you couldn't believe could happen, things that are unbelievable to men, God can make believable. God can make it happen. Do you believe that? Because honestly, when you start believing like Abraham, you're going to have a hard time holding on to your belief. Because everything around you is going to tell you every minute. You're going to look around, you're going to go, this can't happen. This cannot happen. This cannot be true. But Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Because here's what he did. He said, look, he said, all these things are unbelievable. But who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. We've talked about this all the time. Here's Abraham standing outside the tent. He's got that young wife of 90 inside. He's 100. And God says, you're going to have a pile of kids, and you're going to be the father of many nations. This is a guy sleeping in a tent that doesn't even know where he belongs. He's good as dead. And he believed him anyhow. And we're supposed to have the same kind of faith. I'm going to tell you, the only way you can even come close is you gotta believe to the point that you become circumcised. Listen to me. You gotta believe to the point that you become circumcised. You become filled with the Spirit of God. You become set apart as a child of God. Not by where you park your car or park your carcass or your obedience to the religion. We're going to be here on Sunday because that's the Sabbath. That's a lie. We're going to give our money because that's the commandment. That's a lie. We're going to get wet. We're going to get dry. We're going to do all the things a man commands us to do. And it'll be to no effect, because when God finally does share with you a promise, you won't be able to believe it. It's not in you. It takes amazing, miraculous power. It takes a deep relationship, maturity in your marriage to Jesus to believe. When you're 100 years old and he said, you're going to have a pile of kids. I don't have that yet. I'm doing all I can to believe I'm going to have 20/20 vision, and I'm almost there. I'm probably closer than some of y'all. Y'all ain't anybody ever seen me for a long time. That's why you keep coming back. You think because I got a pretty wife, I must be good looking. No, I'm just extremely charming. And humble. Oh, he says, so shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith. He didn't even consider his own body, but... And he said, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't even consider those things. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced. Fully convinced. Let me tell you something right quick before I finish this up. My testimony will help you become convinced. Your testimony will help you become fully convinced. You're not going to believe this completely for the rest of your life on the first swing. So you better have a lot of at-bats. You better be swinging. That's called living. And in this thing called life, there's good days, there's bad days. There's hard days, there's easy days. Most people live this entire life without vision. I've shared it at three meetings this week already. That my people perish for lack of vision. Business meetings. My people perish for lack of vision. Most people in the church today just simply believe that they're going to heaven. Where are you going while you're here?
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.